You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 13th of November 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's Friday the 13th. I didn't realise that. It's scary for some, unlucky for some, lucky for others, and it's lucky for us today because you know who we have with us today. It's Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, good day, sir. How are you doing?
I'm just feeling so lucky today. I can't tell you how lucky I'm feeling. No, I was sitting here thinking about, you know, back in the day when we used to be allowed on Twitter and stuff. We'd troll people, and we would, you know, it was humorous trolling, and we would purposely use these. Terms that are considered impolite in public, you know. And the point of that, there is actually a point besides the lulls of it, was to point out to people that once you allow the eternally outraged to start defining what words you can and can't say, what terms you can and can't say, you know, they never stop. And once again, that's been proven to be correct, I think, with what we're going to discuss today. You know, at the time, we would purposely use terms that, well, that makes me feel uncomfortable. We don't use words like that. That sounds ugly. But now we're at the clown world point that it's really, you have to have a current scorecard to see what's allowed and what is not.
Yeah, there's really no limit to it, is there? Once you allow this sort of thing to go on, and it particularly catches out the elderly, who don't keep up to date with what the latest trendy, fashionable term is for ethnic minorities. And that's exactly what we have here in today's article. English Football Association chairman Greg Clark has resigned following a string of unacceptable comments in front of members of parliament earlier today. Clark, 63, used the term coloured to describe people of black, Asian and minority ethnic communities during comments about gay footballers at the UK government's Digital Culture, Media and Sport Select Committee. Some also interpreted comments he made about homosexuality as suggesting it was a lifestyle choice. I mean, this is just incredible. Everybody used to use the word coloured. That was the polite term to use to describe coloured people. Now we call them black, Asian and minority ethnic in Britain. They call them BIPOC in America, black indigenous people of colour. And this is just over the last couple of years that it's actually changed to BIPOC. And over here in Britain, it's changed to BAME. And this is a man of 63. Imagine how bad it is for somebody of the age of 73. Who is used to using terms that would be described as far more offensive today than just using the term coloured. I mean, it's very, very easy for somebody to mistake the words person of colour for coloured. I mean, what really is the difference to that? Why is it that these people get offended by this? And why is it that we have these people that seem to be professional victims? They're just looking for instances like this where they can come down like a ton of bricks on somebody who quite clearly it has nothing against ethnic minorities. He's done all his best for ethnic minorities. It's just that he happens to have used an old terminology. I mean, that's all this is. It's just old-fashioned terminology. It's certainly not meant to be offensive in any way, but he's been forced to resign for these unacceptable comments. Grandpa, what do you make of this resigning of the English Football Association chairman?
Well, it's even worse because it's retroactive now. I mean, if you use the term today that's considered, like, for say, people of color, that's the acceptable term today. But if that becomes deemed racist in the distant future, say, oh, I don't know, 6 months from now, well, they'll go back 6 months to where, oh, well, 6 months ago, you used the term person of color. You're an evil racist. It's a retroactive. We see this in demanding the airports be renamed and things such as this, because people at the time used the acceptable terms at the time, but it's retroactively applied. So it's actually even worse than it appears. And what a nonsensical difference. He used the term colored instead of people of color. I mean, we're talking about now they're getting down to splitting these sorts of hairs. Is this absolutely absurd? And the fact is, if it wasn't absurd enough that you have these MPs having a hearing about gay footballers, what the hell does this even have to do with the government? But apparently they don't have, I don't know, I guess things are so good there in Britain, Sven, that they don't have anything else to, you know, they're just MPs that have anything else to be concerned about. So, they have to come up with topics such as this to invent something to fix, I suppose. But no, it's so utterly ridiculous. He used the term colored instead of people of color. This is why I chuckle every time I, you know, when I listen into your Daily Nationalist podcast, which granted aren't as good when I'm not there. But but they're still good. They're still good. And I always chuckle to myself because I just love the way with your British accent, you know, you use the term Negro, you know, and I just think, you know, that's just totally, I'm sure, not an acceptable term, even though it's technically a scientific term. But science, to those who supposedly claim to love science, has nothing to do with it, because now science is completely defined as fields, and then those fields are liable to change on a whim. And this is, you know, on a serious note, it is all about control. I mean, it's all about control. We laugh at these things as a way of coping, I suppose, and dealing with it and keeping sane. But it is all about control. When they can come in and say, oh, well, the term you used yesterday is now non-acceptable, we're going to destroy your life over it. And, oh, by the way, the term you used 6 months ago that was acceptable at that time, well, today it's no longer acceptable, and we're going to ruin your life over it. This is why it's so bad when you know, you talk about how they judge people in history, say from the 1700s, by what was societal norms then, and they judge it by today's standards, and they try to apply today's standards, what's allowed and what is not allowed, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, to history back then. This is why it is such a destructive thing, because people hear that, you know, like, oh, well, they're tearing down this historical figure and they're judging it by today's standards. And that all sounds wrong and all, but it sounds like something abstract. You know, well, what does that have to do with me? Well, because if they can do that to somebody, say, from the 1700s, well, then they can do that to you for something you said last year with their ever-changing definitions of what is and is not allowed to be acceptable discourse. And the end of the day, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, well, they tore down a statue of a guy that's been dead for 200 years. I guess he's really himself isn't offended. He's dead. He don't know nothing. But you're going to be upset when they tear you down as a person because you said something last year that at the time was acceptable, but now it is not. And see, the two things are joined together, and that's what people need to really realize. Is the two are joined together. And if they can do that to a historical figure, they can do that to you. And it really is related. It's all, you know, it's absurd. And it sounds stupid because it is stupid. They're having a hearing on gay footballers and somebody tripped up and used a term that was once the polite company term to use, but now is considered taboo. And they all jumped up. They jumped the gun. Boy, they were so excited. These MPs were like, ah, we got him. We got him. Somebody said something. Now I can be offended. It's all about control. It's all about the ability to control you by threatening to be offended and destroy your life as a result.
Well, I guess we should count ourselves lucky that he didn't start quoting Martin Luther King. I try to only use the word that you referenced there, Grandpa, when talking scientifically about specific biological references, or when referencing things that people said many years ago, because we don't want to offend people, but we end up getting tongue-tied, trying to think of the correct words to use, trying to be as fashionable as possible, because that's what all it really seems to be, is what is the latest fashion. But it's far more insidious than that, because people can lose their jobs over it, as in this case here. The comments brought swift condemnation from across the English game, with leading anti-racism group Kick It Out saying Clark's words represented a big step backwards in attempts to improve diversity in the sport. That was echoed by Football v Homophobia, who warned that there were some who had used the FA Chief's comments as a way to prop up their homophobia. How can this be a big step backwards in attempts to improve diversity in the sport? Somebody of a later age than most used the language that has always been seen as polite for the majority of his life. This isn't a big step backwards. Why can't they make exceptions for the elderly and understand that he was using that word coloured because he didn't want to use an earlier terminology which is now seen as offensive, and now the word coloured is seen as offensive. Well, ultimately the outcry would prompt Clark's resignation within a matter of hours, although he insisted that he had been considering leaving his post for some time. He has been the FA's chairman since September 2016, having previously served as chairman of the English Football League, the EFL, and Leicester City. I mean, literally, a matter of hours, and he was gone. And this was big-time news. This made the national news over here in Britain. I believe at the same time this was happening, 50 people over in an African country were beheaded on a football pitch. That wasn't national news, but the fact that the head of the English Football League used a word that was considered polite only 10 years ago, that suddenly becomes national news, and they need to humiliate this man for being so old-fashioned and using such old terminology. I really don't see how this can be a big step backwards, and we'll find out why they're accusing him of homophobia in a minute. But Grandpa, have you got any comments you'd like to make on him resigning within a matter of hours?
Well, it's a ritualistic humiliation of a white man. And let's be honest, this is a shitstorm because he's a white guy. I mean, a elderly black gentleman, say a black man about 70 years old, would be just as likely to use these a term such as colored or Negro in this context. And if that was the case, then nobody would have raised an eyebrow. But since this is a white man, and he's deemed to have some position and authority, he's a perfect target to take down. You have this ritualistic public humiliation of him. And you know, the older someone gets, the less they want to deal with that, because people look at this and say, well, he shouldn't have resigned. And this is true. Make them fire you. You should have, you know, tried to weather it a little bit. But you know, the older you get, the less energy you have for such things. And he's probably like, you know, I don't need this crap. You know, fine. Just, you know, I'll take my ball and go home, do something else, which you can't really blame him for that. But I think it's important not to miss the fact that this is essentially just because he's a white guy, they're going to jump all over this, become, you know, raise up a big storm of being insulted, you know, being offended. And they're going to, this is a ritualistic public humiliation. And it just keeps growing. You know, again, they'll retroactively apply these things. And it's utter control, because when people are afraid to speak, then they pretty much have complete control over you.
Well, continuing here, asked to explain why there are no openly gay men in the highest levels of the English game, Clark said, "The answer is, I don't know, right? Because I've spent a lot of time talking to people from the LGBT community. I've talked to LGBT athletes from other sports who have come out. The views I've heard is, if I look at what happens to high-profile female footballers, high-profile coloured footballers, and the abuse they take on social media." I mean, what's wrong with that? Well, further discussion of the issue of gay footballers in his examination by MPs, Clark added, "Anyone who runs out onto the pitch and on Monday says, I am gay, I am proud of it, and I am happy, and it's a life choice, and I have made it, and my life is a better place because I have disclosed it, I do believe they would have the support of their mates in the changing room." Well, that was it. Because he said it was a lifestyle choice. I mean, it's quite obvious that the guy here is pro-homosexuality. He's trying to talk about how if you are homosexual, then you should be able to say that in the changing room. And yet he's been attacked for this. It was not entirely clear whether Clark meant to suggest that homosexuality is a life choice. Separately, he said that the FA's IT department has a lot more South Asians than there are Afro-Caribbeans. adding they have different career interests. He also said that he had been told by a coach that young girls did not like having the ball kicked hard at them. And again, he's just trying to be sensible here. He's just trying to be nice. He's trying to explain the reason why there aren't many Afro-Caribbeans in the IT department. You know, he can't say, well, it's because they're on average, they have a much lower IQ. So he says, well, it must be because they have different career interests. I mean, it's just incredible that they're having a go at this man and they've forced him to resign for, I mean, he's just trying to be nice, isn't he? He's just using old term language. Grandpa, what do you make of his faux pas here?
I just can't get over the fact that you're talking about a game. You know, it's a sports thing, and somehow it's an issue that we don't know how many of them are doing man-on-man anal. I mean, really, this is what we're talking about here. This is such an important thing that British MPs had to get together and hold a hearing to try to get to the bottom of why we do not know how many footballers or soccer players are doing man-on-man anal. You know, maybe one of the reasons is some of the ones that are doing man-on-man anal don't feel like it's anybody's business. You know, maybe that's why we don't know how many homosexual soccer players they are, because they just don't feel like it's anybody's business, which I would agree with that. You know, I mean, why is it suddenly it's everybody? And maybe this is a flip side that needs to be considered, you know, all something like this, you know. So if somebody is homosexual, maybe they just don't feel like it's anybody's business. Well, you know, what kind of sex they're having, because it's not. Why would I care? I don't care. I don't want to know what kind of sex people are having. How many? When are we going to have a hearing? How many male soccer players are into hardcore BDSM where people are tied up and whipped? Well, we don't need to know that. Exactly. We don't need to know that. We don't need to know how many are doing man-on-man anal. It's supposed to be a game. It's supposed to be entertainment. Do you think how many people show up in the stands to watch soccer and they're sitting there going, man, how many of them guys do you think are doing man-on-man anal? How many of those guys are doing hardcore BD? Nobody's thinking that. They're just there to watch a freaking game. But yeah, everything has to be destroyed. Everything has to be turned into this theater of the offended, where we're, you know, everybody is supposed to run around and get in line and march lockstep. You know, maybe it's nobody's freaking business. How about that? Maybe his first mistake wasn't making these, using these terms that had now suddenly been defined as highly offensive. I think his first mistake was going to the hearing at all. I think he should have told the MPs to piss off. It's none of your business. We don't care how many of our soccer, are we going around trying to find out how many homosexual soccer players we have and kick them off the team no matter how good of a player they are? Well, absolutely not. They don't care. It's not their business, and it's not the business of the British Parliament either. Do they have nothing else to worry about in Britain? My understanding is Brexit is still grinding along slowly. They're locking down and destroying the economy in the name of the COVID, but yet they have nothing else to worry about. But they want to know how many soccer players are doing man-on-man anal. This is the top issue. And now they've stirred up a storm because this guy used the term, not only used the term colored, but he actually implied that people make choices. Well, that's a no-brainer. I mean, that's a no-brainer. If somebody decides to have a certain type of sex, well, I mean, they had to make that decision. Now, you could get down and argue about the drive they have or the compulsion they might have to do that. But in the end, everybody makes a decision. If you're a married guy and you decide you go to bed tonight and you have sex with your wife, you made a decision to have sex with your wife versus just roll over and go to sleep. I mean, a decision was involved here, but apparently we're all just supposed to be animals running around acting on our impulses without any thought process, without making any choices. And if those choices turn out bad, well, it's not your fault, because, you know, it's just you're just doing what you're supposed to do, which is to run around like animals, doing whatever pops into your mind, whatever compulsion, whatever impulse happens at the time. This whole thing is just utterly absurd. But it's all about control. Now they preen and they posture as though they are morally superior to everybody else. Look at what a good person I am. I'm offended by this. I'm a good person. Never taking into account that next time it could very easily be them.
Continuing here, Member of Parliament Kevin Brennan asked Clark later in his appearance if he wished to apologise for using the word coloured, which the FA chairman did, saying that his time working the USA, where he was required to use the term people of color may have prompted him to trip over my words. I mean, that's a very believable explanation there, isn't it? I mean, it is essentially the same. People of color, colored. I mean, what is the difference between that? It's just pedantic, isn't it, to assassinate this man's career because of it? The Football Association subsequently issued a separate apology, but campaign groups were unimpressed by Clark. Kick It Out chairman Sanjay Bhandari said his use of outdated language to describe black and Asian people as coloured is from decades ago and should remain consigned to the dustbin of history. Being gay is not a life choice, as he claimed too. I was particularly concerned by the use of lazy racist stereotypes about South Asians and their supposed career preferences. That kind of attitude may well partially explain why South Asians are statistically the most underrepresented ethnic minority on the pitch. Of course, it's nothing to do with them being smaller, so they don't actually have the muscles. They have lower testosterone as well, and they're smaller average height. That's why there's not so many of them on the pitch. That's why, and again, the high IQ is why there are more of them involved in IT. He talks about lazy racist stereotypes here, but he's basically explaining the reality of what people see. He continues saying, these comments indicate that more still needs to be done to challenge attitudes. For all the steps made forward recently, the comments expressed today are a big step backwards.
Well, you know, if there's one underrepresented group out there, it is, so we say, not so tall white guys in basketball. So why isn't this a problem? Why isn't somebody tackling this huge issue of underrepresentation of not tall white men in basketball? Because they're, you know, being disproportionately excluded. You know, their rights are being violated. But yet it's just so absurd. I mean, I can't even treat it seriously. It's serious in the sense of what they're doing to the culture and what all of this means. And how fragile is this thing they're claiming to be all about? These people that are all offended probably don't even watch the game. And yet the game is being dictated to and destroyed and by people that don't even take part in it. You know, and we see this time and again, you know, when people get run off from their jobs because a mob is outraged that was never going to do business with that company in the first place. But it doesn't matter. They just get really vocal, really loud, and everybody gets scared and submits to them. Now, this doesn't stop until people quit submitting, until finally somebody stands up and tells the outraged mob to piss off. You know, I don't care. Piss off with your outrage. Go somewhere else. Until companies, organizations, people start doing that, stop pissing themselves because the outrage mob is calling them names and accusing them of being bad thinkers. At some point, people have to stand up. You know, you look back on history and the things that our ancestors are laughing at us right now. Our ancestors are laughing at us. Our ancestors risked their lives to go on great adventures across the high seas, discover new lands, conquer lands, you know, just build a business from scratch, you know, with a trading company, put their life on the line, take a gamble, you know, go on an adventure that could, you know, very well end in death. But it's an adventure. It's something, you know, extraordinary to do. And here we are. We're afraid to tell this little measly outrage mob to go piss off. Nobody cares. Piss off. You're not even going to watch our football game. So go to hell. You know, and people are afraid to do that. They're going to call me names. They're going to the outrage mob is upset. Let's all run around and appease them. Good night. People in this society have finally got to grow a freaking pair and tell the outrage mob we don't care. And not just the people that are being attacked because they single somebody out. And they focus their energy on them. What has to happen is the people around them have to step up and tell them to piss off. They have to quit allowing them to isolate it. The soccer organization here should have stepped up and defended this guy and said, no, y'all piss off. He does a great job. He didn't have any ill intent. He's not going around trying to spread the hatreds. He's just speaking the truth in the best terms he could come up with. Just because you don't like those terms, too bad. Until those around you, your friends, your family, your organizations, your businesses start growing a pair, stepping up, this will continue. As we have seen, the outrage continues to be manufactured. It just gets louder. They just get more shrill because they just feed off of it. Ha ha, we took another one down. We took another scalp. The people, the organizations, the companies, at some point have got to stand up and tell these people to piss off. Because guess what? Once you tell them, no, we don't care about your outrage. Good, you're outraged. Well, I'm outraged about a lot of things. But guess what? The world isn't going to change because of what I'm offended about and what I'm upset about. And it's not going to change for you either. Once people do that, once organizations start doing that, once people quit apologizing, running around, being afraid, they don't have anything else. They're just shrilly screaming. And what will ultimately happen is when they don't have anything else, they'll move on to the next target. But until that happens, this will continue on. It is the people who are being targeted, it's those around them, the organization, the soccer organization in this case, who are at fault. All they have to do is stand up to the shrill mob and tell them to piss off. Who cares if they're MPs? What are they going to do? Pass a law saying, oh, you're not allowed to offend me? Some point, the people have got to stand up and say no more.
Well, Bhandari's assessment was echoed by Football v Homophobia, an international initiative that exists to challenge discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression at all levels in football. What does any of that have to do with football? Sexual orientation, gender identity. Football is about kicking a ball about a pitch and trying to get it into the goal. It's not about who you sleep with or what hormones you take. Campaign director Lou Englefield said, "The idea that being gay is a life choice is an outdated concept that many people will find deeply offensive. There are some people who will use a statement like this from the FA chairman as a way to prop up their homophobia." Yes, of course, people are going to be quoting the FA chairman because they hate homosexuals. People who hate homosexuals are not going to be quoting the FA chairman, are they? They're not going to be listening to what he has to say. They're going to be against him because he is so inclusive. I mean, this is just so ridiculous that they're being so mean to this man who is obviously trying to be all things to all people. They say, "We are deeply disappointed that the FA have expressed this opinion alongside sexist opinions about girls and the use of racist language and stereotypes." And of course, this bit about girls as well. Of course, girls don't like a hard football kicked at them, you know, directly at them. It's going to hurt them. It's going to harm them. I mean, it's just quite obvious that if you've got somebody with a third less body strength than men, that don't have the strength of men, if they get hit by a hard football, it's going to cause a lot more damage to them than it would do to a man. I mean, this guy is just basically talking common sense here. "This was not the first occasion Clark has created problems for the FA in front of members of parliament. In 2017, he labelled allegations of institutional racism within the governing body as fluff." And that's all it is. How can you accuse the Football Association of being institutionally racist when you look at the football teams and it's full of black players and you see them all taking the knee and you see all this kick racism out of football? I mean, I don't think there's any organization that is more anti-racist than football. When you look at all these other organizations they've got around it, Football v Homophobia, Kick Racism Out of Football, this other organization that they've got here, Kick It Out. I mean, you don't have that for any other organization, and yet they will still accuse British football of being institutionally racist. I feel very sorry for this chairman. And, I would hope that he gets support from his friends and from his associates. It's shocking to see the way that he's just been cut loose like this simply for using anachronisms exactly the same as anybody over the age of 60 would. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on this?
Well, I would be really curious who's funding these organizations, because they have to have money to operate. How come we never hear who's funding these organizations? I would be really curious to know about that. So this organization claims to be this group claims to be about ending discrimination against homosexuals in soccer. But how do they even know there is discrimination? Again, they don't even know how many homosexuals are in soccer. So how can they know if they're being somehow discriminated against? I would imagine, I'm sure there's homosexuals in professional soccer, and I would be willing to bet that those people just really don't feel as though it's anybody's business to know, you know, what kind of sex they have. And I would, like I said before, I would totally agree with that. But yet these people take it upon themselves to be their spokespeople. They take it upon themselves to say, oh, well, we make it our business to know what kind of sex these people are having. This is how is that even sane in any I don't know, culture or whatever, but this is where we're at. And again, this just goes to show that it never ends. It never ends. Once you give in, once you give them that ability to dictate what kind of words you can and cannot use, what kind of terms you can and cannot use, I'm sorry, then it never ends, because they just keep reinventing what's acceptable and what is not. Something that's acceptable a year ago will be considered not acceptable today, because they can't stop. It's a power trip. And that's what it's all about. It's about power and submission.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.